All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Serious Angler Podcast, powered by our friends over at X2 Power Batteries. We're back for another Tuesday Night Live with the captain, Mr. Andy Full. As always, I'm your
And the
host.
married one.
I'm now your married host, Bailey Eichbrand. So you couldn't tell from episodes last week. It was quite the hectic week, but rightfully so. Your boy got married on Saturday. And that was 2.5 years overdue because we were engaged literally for 2.5 years. So
I remember you telling me about like getting engaged and everything. And I was so excited for you then. So like truly congrats, man, to you and Lon. It's awesome. So and now you know what married life feels like. It doesn't right. change much.
Just got to have your hand.
All the, the relationship gets easier from there. So just constant work. Enjoy every second.
Yeah, we literally spent all of yesterday. We didn't have to work, thank God. And spent the day like making like a giant bucket list, trying to be productive, different things we want to do, things like that. So it was super exciting. It was a fun week. But did have some stuff kind of slip out of the way, aka Friday's podcast that we're going to do yesterday or last week, that we're supposed to announce something pretty big coming to the Serious Angler Podcast Network, which
well, we might as well do it today then, right?
We will. I'll slip it in there because what it did is we actually pre-recorded it. I'm going to add the insert from the co-host of the new show coming to the Serious Angler Network, and that is Kayak Fishing Weekly. All right, guys, we are here with our co-host of the show for what is going to be Kayak Fishing Weekly, Mr. Justin Largin, who's actually reporting live on the water. We're not jealous whatsoever. Justin, where are you reporting from, dude?
I'm at some undisclosed location on Lake Gunnersville.
I like how you added in the undisclosed.
Yeah, exactly. But somewhere in Alabama on a pretty popular lake down here.
We'll have some people trying to screenshot your background right now, trying to figure out which tree it is behind you.
I don't know.
But man, I'm excited for you because you're fishing a championship this week. So I'll be looking forward to keeping up with that. But for the folks, we're announcing this new show. This is something you and I have had in the hopper, I think now probably since what? Last May?
Yeah, we've been talking about it for several months now.
Yeah, it's been more on me why the lag has taken so long to get this on off the ground. But it's taken a lot of background work. We're finally ready to kick this thing off. Kayak Fishing Weekly, a brand new show on the Serious Angler Podcast Network coming November 2nd. And to give you guys a premise of what this is all about, is Justin and I here are going to be hosting the show every week, Thursday morning. We will be dropping a show on every location that you can find Serious Angler, but it's from the Bass Boat. It'll be on MP3 on its own, Kayak Fishing Weekly, as well as it'll be posted on the Serious Angler YouTube channel. And what we're going to be doing every week is we're going to have three main segments for you guys. Really, we're going to kick off every show of Justin and I both being kayak anglers, kayak tournament anglers, and just general avids of this sport. We're going to chit chat about our experiences week by week, but also talk about industry news, keeping you guys up to date on what's happening throughout kayak fishing tournaments, the kayak fishing industry, new trends, new products coming out, new different things that might be trending amongst the kayak fishing community. And then we'll get into either a topic for that day, you know, talking about like with Justin, you know, reading current on a river system from a kayak, that sort of thing, trying to be efficient while all so much chaotic stuff is going on while you're flying down current in a river, from anywhere, something along the lines of that, to having on some of our best anglers in the sport to help teach you guys, because Justin's going to get into it here a little bit, but we're here to learn. You're listening because you want to learn. And so we're going to have the best people that can educate you guys and have a good time doing it. And we'll wrap up each show. Something pretty cool. We're calling it the Kayak Fishing's Kings and Queens of the Week. And what we're going to do is take three people of the week, and we are going to highlight, or it's almost going to be like a Sports Center top 10, if you will. If you're like me as a kid, as an athlete, waking up on every morning to try and catch Sports Center top 10 before you go to school, this is kind of what it's going to be like. So we're going to take, you know, like the unsung heroes from tournaments, you know, the people that were in like the 20s on day one, and then have a giant day on day two to come back and make in the top 10, things like that. We're going to highlight those folks, as well as we're going to highlight the content creators, the YouTubers, the people out there that are working their butt off, making some really cool content that we feel deserves some recognition. So really, Justin, anything in kayak fishing is full game for our kayak kings and queens of the week.
Yeah, I'm excited about that segment because I've traveled a lot over the last couple of years, and at some of these tournaments, you run into guys that don't do the national scene. They'll just do a tournament when it comes to their house, their home lake. And there's some fantastic fishermen all over the place that, you know, are not sort of household names in the industry. So I'm excited to kind of give them some shine. And also, like you were saying, it's like, I think this is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be educational. You're a fantastic offshore fisherman. I want to learn more about that, get better at that side of it. I want to learn from our guests and then also just kind of have fun. I think it's going to be a lot of fun talking to different people and just, I mean, it's a sport that we both love, that we're passionate about, and I'm excited to kind of get to talk about it every week and share with other people.
100%. And I think you nailed it in regards to that. For people that may know you and I, we are polar opposites when it comes to our fishing in regards to like where we like to be, right? Where I would love to get in the rivers and stuff, but my forte is electronics, offshore, big smallmouth, that sort of thing, where it's like, I think you prefer not having any sort of electronics on your kayak when it comes to your fishing.
I do. I don't even have them on right now.
See, I love to see that. I love to see that. And so this is going to create for great different perspectives when we talk about the different topics and things like that on this show. But also being said, we're going to have a great time. We think that what we're trying to do is spread a lot of positivity in our sport, take kayak fishing and the people in it and take them down the right direction, spread, you know, entertainingly educational content, but also have a heck of a time doing it and try to do what we can, do our part to grow the sport of kayak fishing. So that's the premise of it. Justin, any last words before I let you go for your kayak fishing championship that you're about to compete in this week?
No, man, I think you said it well.
Perfect. Well, folks, it's starting November 2nd, Thursday morning. We actually have a Kayak Fishing Weekly Instagram page we're going to be putting out that you guys can go and follow. But make sure you add it on MP3. We'll keep you guys in the know when the first episode drops, as well as Justin and I will be letting you guys know on our personal social media. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. We'll see y'all then. Beyond that, obviously some hectic news from last week, wanting to announce that show. Wedding got in the way. Andy and I had a grand old time on Saturday with all of our pals.
Grand old time.
It was a heck of a time. But we're back live here. We have Mr. Logan Parks joining us here today. We've got a bunch of stuff to talk about. Just qualified for the Elite Series. Running is a new tournament style that is going to be for high school, college anglers. I think is really cool. It's really going to be great for the younger generation of the sport. But before we get into that, this week's going to be full of some different news updates, things like that, things coming from our partners things we have coming up soon that we're going to try to catch you guys up on best we can. But one thing quick for you guys before Halloween, being that it is coming up in a week, is that there's a 25% off sale at Omnia Fishing for all flat side crankbaits going on. So for all you frit side folk,
that's a good one.
Get in on that. Make sure you guys use our discount codes. Save yourself some more money off those orders. But Andy, anything else we're missing? Missing there before we get old Logan Parks on the show here?
Nah, let's just get him on. Oh man, we're have like full steam ahead now, steelhead fishing before we go, and have one bass trip left Sunday, and then yeah, steelhead fishing today was incredible on the water. I think we hooked 40 fish over like 7 hours. Wasn't too bad, so it's gonna keep getting better. Can't wait.
Yeah. Shout out to my wedding officiant who has joined the comments here, Mr. Alex Red Fishing.
Let's just say he was cold.
Yeah, he was not prepared for the 40 degrees and cold. But I will say he nailed it. Flying colors for the ceremony. Heck, a lot of fun. And appreciate him more than words can describe. But Alex, I am sure, will be recurring here on this show quite soon, as well as the new show, Kayak Fishing Weekly, that we just announced. So I think without further ado, let's bring him on here, our guest for tonight, Mr. Logan Parks. What's going
How's
on, man?
How's it going?
Good evening.
How are you guys?
Has it settled in yet that you've made the Elite Series?
Man, it still seems like a dream, honestly. It's a dream come true. It's pretty pretty crazy to hear that, you know, you've qualified for the Elite Series. I mean, it settled in when I had to pay my deposit for sure, but yeah. But I'm super excited.
Talk about coming fast. Like, you need, was like 2 or 3 weeks ago that you qualified and then you have to get your deposit in right away.
Yeah, I think it was, I think it's due like November 5th or November 10th or something, but due fairly quickly. I mean, last tournament was mid-October, so not too much of a turnaround there.
Yeah, I mean, that works fast, but I mean, better sooner than later. But I mean, dude, it had to be a, and I'm sure, as we discussed offline, you've been on a few shows already with BTL, Luke Duncan, all incredible shows to go and listen to. I have not had the opportunity to listen to those just yet. So I'm curious, and selfishly, it was watching those rankings so tight day by day for you guys going into that Harris Chain event. Like, you were like bubble boy going into it. And it was like, it had to be quite stressful, but from the outside looking in, you seemed quite calm for being a bubble boy, like sitting there, you and Bobby Lane locking arms going into it, chasing people down in the Harris Chain event. That had to have been pretty wild.
Yeah, it was, dude. I mean, to be fair, like, I've been in that situation before. Like, last year I was, I believe, sixth place in Angler of the Year going into the final tournament, final open at Sam Rayburn. And I was technically in through some – because they didn't have the all nine format. They had, the you know, the three from each division. And I was in the category of the three through the overall nine category. So I was technically still fishing like the EQ format. I fished all nine of them, but through some double qualifiers, I was technically in by like 17 points going into the final tournament. Then I blew it, came in seventh. I barely, you know, blew it, but still didn't get it done. So to be in that same situation, you know, it was like deja vu really. And I tried to focus more on just catching fish and worrying less about the points. And I think that, you know, that was super helpful. I said a lot of prayers that week for sure, and was kind of at peace with it, regardless of what happened. And just, you know, we were able to get it done. Super thankful for that.
Yeah, and it sounds easier said than done. You know, oh, we'll just go fishing today, and not worry about the points. When it's like, I feel like you can dial that for a little bit, but then like you catch a fish, put it in a live well, and you start thinking about the points based on how big that fish was. It definitely for sure recurred in your mind a little bit, but
no doubt. Yeah. Day one when I only had like 9 pounds, I'm like, I'm screwed. And I only caught 5 fish all day, and I caught a 4-pounder with probably an hour left. So I caught my 5th keeper 1 hour before weigh-in, and it was a 4-pounder and only weighed 9 pounds. So, yeah, I could show you how stressful day one was. I mean, I only had 4 fish for like 5 pounds all day. But luckily, we were able to catch a better on day two and jump back in the cut. I am salty, though, because of the way the live cameras were. I missed a live camera by like a couple points because I fell so far. They ended up doing a camera on the top 4 or 5 in the tournament, and then 6th through 11th in the Angler of the Year points. And I had slipped from 8th to 12th by like 2 points. And I'm like, dang it, I was almost on FS1. But
yeah, trying to get that live camera.
Yeah, maybe we'll get one next year.
I mean, I'd say the odds are there for sure. Absolutely. We have a comment here from our buddy Mr. Alex Rudd saying, Logan still owes me a coal shed. What's that about?
Got some beef.
I thought I mailed it back to him. Did I not mail it back to him?
I don't know. Alex takes his coal shads very seriously.
If I haven't and you want it back, just text me. I had an open earlier this year and they were chewing it. And I was like, just, you know, hitting whoever I could. I texted you too, Bailey. I'm like, yo, like,
yeah, he's getting around the gauntlet because I got a text from him if you're fishing. No, it wasn't him. It was Brad. And he's like, hey, you got coal shads? I'm like, no, you don't send me anything, Brad. Like, why would I have anything?
I had like one, and they had just like, I mean, I took the hook off of it, and they were just eating it so good with no hook and swimming around with it that it was still like ripping it, you know. And I ended up using the same one in the tournament, and it was okay. I mean, I've probably caught like 50 fish on that thing, which is crazy. Sure. crazy for like how durable it is. But at some point you're like, I'm going to mess up and rip the tail off or cast it in a tree or something. So I was trying to stock up, and then tournament rolls around and there's a torrential downpour, and the whole main lake dock deal I had got super muddy and I didn't even get to do that. So
it always works out that way.
Yeah, so typical.
I was going to say, could you imagine if it was actually a mag draft and how many mag drafts you probably would have went through in those 50 fish?
Yeah, you would have probably had, you know, a good about 10 of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the general rule for me is about 3 fish a mag draft. And at that point, so you can't even like put them back together and it's over. So
and then you catch that 2-pounder and you boat flip him and he's just like shaking his head like, bro, chill.
It's always the small ones that ruin the good things.
I had one where that day I went and played the lottery because I had it last over 25 fish a mag draft. And I was
But they're all big ones.
What's that?
They were all big ones that you caught on it, weren't they? Like 3 pounds. Like
anywhere from 2.5 to almost 5. And I went and I finally broke and I went to the next one and it took one pounder and it was done on the next one. So I was like, yep, yeah, I just got lucky that one. But yeah, Alex said he'll trade you 25% of all your winnings instead next year.
Hopefully they send me more than one next year.
Yeah. Well, dude, when it comes to obviously making the Elite Series, your name along with Tucker's have been everywhere when it comes to college fishing. Kind of quickly hit on, and this is going to come full circle to your event here because it obviously shows some importance of how you got to where you're at, but what the impact was for you coming up the way you did through high school, college, that sort of thing from a competitive fishing standpoint, why that was so important to where you're at now.
Yeah, so, I mean, I started fishing competitively in high school, but it wasn't until I didn't make the baseball team in eighth grade and I, you know, it was like kind of like midlife crisis mode. What am I going to do? But there was always like 3 of us that fished. Like it was like we're like the three amigos or whatever. And every day after school, we'd get on our bikes and ride to the golf course and fish. Every day, like no matter what. I mean, and then we played sports too, but one of us made the baseball team and the other two didn't. And so we're like, kind of like, what do we do? And we heard there was high school fishing going on. This was like 2012. So it was the very, you know, close to the very beginning of that. And we were able to meet with our principal and she was like, yeah, if you guys can find, you know, a coach, like a faculty member that'll, you know, coach y'all and be your teacher sponsor, you can start a fishing team. So we ended up finding a coach. Drew Morgan stepped up and he decided to be the coach of the Auburn Anglers fishing team at Auburn High School. And we started the fishing team, signed up for some tournaments that year, fished our first tournament that spring on Weiss Lake in North Alabama. It was like 17 degrees all day and it snowed. That was my first bass tournament. I zeroed. I think we went like 0-for-5 before we finally figured out that you just need to go throw a shaky head on some rip wrap and you can at least catch a couple keepers. But it was a huge learning curve we had to overcome for sure. Neither me or my buddy that ended up, you know, fishing together the rest of the high school season or the rest of the high school, like all 5 years, me and my buddy Lucas fished together. Neither of our dads tournament fished. It was just like, you know, like we'll go throw a bobber out there, or, you know, go throw a lizard in a pond or something. But it was nothing like tournament fishing or really lake fishing even. It was more just like fishing with a granddad or whatever. And so luckily they had friends that did tournament fish that they worked with. So they took, you know, the time out of their days and took their weekends off to take me and my partner Lucas fishing and captain us and teach us. And I would say we had maybe 6 or 7 really, you know, good mentors that helped us throughout high school learn and just shorten that learning curve. And then we both graduated, went to Auburn, fished together for a few years. And I fished with a kid named Cody Griffith. And then I fished my last 2 years with Tucker Smith. And I would say college is really where I was able to kind of like branch out and like, you know, become my own angler. It was like less of like doing what the, you know, boat captain was telling us to do and more of like figuring it out on my own. But I really needed that period in high school to really learn, you know, I learned a lot then, just kind of built my groundwork of fishing and what I know about it.
Yeah. Well, and I'm kind of curious too, because there's tournament fishing and then there's fun fishing. And obviously you can combine both, where people, you know, we do tournaments because we enjoy them. And we have competitive nature, but there's two different styles of how you fish, and you fish one way in a tournament and you'll fish one way when you're not in a tournament, when you're just having fun, when there's nothing on the line, that sort of thing. Where I find it interesting when some people classify certain guys as this term we have coined nowadays, the scopers, right? Yeah. Oh, he's just a scoper, where it's like half the time, 90% of these guys that get coined a scoper, like when they're not in a tournament or in practice, they usually don't turn it on. Like they want to go do something else. So I'm kind of curious with you though. Like, is that the case where like, is your fun fishing style, is it different from how you like to tournament fish, or is it, are they the same?
I have the most fun fishing when I'm catching. So whatever I got to do to catch the most bass,
scoper,
that's what I want to do. But, no, I really like fishing grass. Like I like punching and swimming a jig. Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes I'll just go out there and do that all day.
It just screams Alabama to me.
Yeah, even if it's not like the deal, you know, I'm just like, I'm just trying to get that one big bite, you know, I really just want that bite. Mm-hmm. So I'll do that sometimes, but for the most part, I mean, I usually just, you know, I just scope, you know, that's it. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah. No,
I get controversial here. All right. Like, we don't want to fire anyone up.
That's all everybody wants to know, man. That's like everybody's question. How much do you scope? You know, like I just do whatever to catch a bass, man. I mean, at the end of the day, if that's going to help me catch bass, I'm going to do that until it's not allowed to be done. So
yeah. Maximize the tools at your disposal, right? Like you're not going to go in and fix a car's bolt with a screwdriver. Like that just won't work.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you one thing that I've seen. It's like, it's not even necessarily like I'm just going out there and live scoping. Like I still find probably 95% of what I fish with a side scan, you know, or like mapping, like all that, you know, that sets up good on the map. Those contours look good. So and then I use live scope at those areas to be more accurate with my casts, to hit the structure that I've marked, to look and see if there's any fish in the area. But it's like I'm still using my basic fundamentals that have been around forever to fish the same areas. It's just live scope's enhancing the ability to fish those areas. But
yeah, learning more faster.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this is just a never constant topic, especially because it's the off season for most of these big trails or the quote unquote buzz. But we'll change the subject, because I know there's a lot of people that are probably just sick and tired of the forward facing sonar topics, but I'll leave it with this. And it's from our pal, Mr. Jake Boomer at Alpha Angler, said, yeah, at the end of the day, the reason we go fishing is to get bites. Why would you complain about something that helps you get more bites? It is, at the end of the day, that's the way I look at it from a learning. I love learning with it, but again, neither here nor there, because at the end of the day, the way I look at it too, is I've seen some comments, whatever, of the age class getting younger for rookies on the different tours. And I think you could factor in a little bit of forward facing sonar, but I think the major factor is that it's 2023 and the accessibility to information like YouTube and online articles, accessibility of younger anglers to talk to professional and top tier anglers, or even anglers in that region through via social media, or just being able to, like, it's not like basketball with LeBron James. You can't just go up there and talk to him, where it's like, Logan, you're gonna be in the elites and you're not going to decline some 8-year-old kid that's going to come up to you at a tournament and ask you questions. So like the accessibility of the sport is it's special. So I hate this whole conversation that it's changing the game, but again, this, I'm going to stop now, because this will be a tangent we'll go down for a while that we've been having a lot lately. And I'm more curious about, and I know you've spoken on it a little bit, but talk to the importance of why you're hosting this tournament that's a kind of a combination between high school anglers and college anglers, and the main draw and the main impact you want to have coming out of it?
Yeah, well, kind of also to wrap up, like, not to dive back into that, but
we're back.
What you're saying, like, I think that the high school and college programs have a lot to do with the success of the younger anglers too. I mean, you look at how many guys are on the Elite Series or former college anglers. I don't know that number, but it's a lot more than it was 5-10 years ago.
How many of the qualifiers for next year are former college anglers?
Yeah, exactly. And then how many of those guys were at least high school anglers? You know, like, there's less and less guys on the Elite that are high school anglers, but there will be more and more. And I think that's because these anglers have these awesome programs through Bass, MLF, FLW, whatever, you know, to fish in high school and learn more than they would, you know, otherwise, just fishing like the Tuesday nighter or whatever. Like, we would have never gone to Toledo Bend if it wasn't for Bassmaster High School. But then I got some experience out there, you know, and then we go there this year, and next year we go there in the Elite Series. And so I think that high school and college is awesome opportunities for learning, and just kind of trial and error and fishing the same places, you know, that the pros go to. So something I'm super passionate about. I obviously wouldn't be, you know, anywhere where I'm at today if it wasn't for high school fishing and the people that helped me in high school. And college fishing, and I want to be able to give back to those. thanks, Kyle. I want to give back to those two groups, because there, I feel like there's some opportunity there, that there's some stuff that's not being done, and I'm working to fill that gap. And one of those is through the event that I'm putting on coming up this November 12th on Lake Martin here in Auburn, Alabama. It's called the High School College Chaos Tournament. It's presented by Abu Garcia, and it's actually a super unique format where we pair a college angler with a high school angler. As far as I know, I don't think it's been done before, and I think it'll be an awesome recruiting opportunity for both college programs looking for some of the top high school anglers, and for high school anglers to showcase their skills to some of the top college coaches and presidents of the fishing teams.
So are we going to see like college fishing coaches out there in their boats with the clipboards, like you see cliche in the high school football movies and TV shows?
Yeah, they might be like showing up at the bullpen, you know, watching the pitchers. But no, I think that they'll probably, you know, have a list of prospects. And then because of the way the format works, the college angler actually picks his high school partner in a draft the day before the tournament. So I have a feeling that these college anglers will be, you know, bring college cheerleaders. Yeah, maybe we should get some cheerleaders involved.
I think you have one. It's called Kyle Patrick here in the comments.
I'm sure.
The tournament's November 12th, Kyle.
No, Kyle, you're not in high school anymore. You can't compete. No, that's pretty cool, man. Obviously, we're going to keep expanding on this, but one thing that just kind of was funny off of having like college teams there and coaches, you know, to kind of have prospects, if you will. I don't know why, just the image in my head of like a coach watching you like skip docks and you're just ringing them off the dock posts and just being the most awkward thing ever.
Coach lost.
Yeah. You're like, sorry, buddy, you're out. You didn't make the team.
We got the pontoon counter.
He's not getting no scholarship.
Yeah. Well, so when you mentioned some of the gaps that you saw that isn't being provided for high school or college anglers, what are the things beyond that did you see that needs to be or would be of benefit to those groups, which is why you've installed this tournament?
Yeah, so, I mean, not just the tournament, but actually the Logan Parks Fishing Foundation. It's a nonprofit that I've founded in March. Finally got my approval letter yesterday. Shout out IRS. But, it's we're going to do more than just this event. This event is just kind of the first thing that we're doing. But I'd like to bring in some cool guest speakers to talk to these guys at the event. I'm talking with a couple right now. I don't have anything set in stone yet, but you know, there's stuff that these guys need to know if they want to make a career in fishing, like saving, you know, saving money, you know, saving your receipts and keeping track of your expenses and how, like, you can save money, you know, on taxes. That's something important that's boring, you know, maybe, but it's not boring when you start paying taxes. I promise you that.
It's not boring when you see more money you're saving each year.
Yeah. Facts. And stuff like that, man. I mean, you know, sponsorship relations, not, you know, not being that cringy guy that's out there blowing people up and switching rod brands 12 times in high school. You know, there's stuff like that that I feel like is not talked about as much that I think that we can instill in these anglers and work to develop, you know, develop them over a period of time as they go through high school and college. And I think this tournament is just the first of many things that we're going to have coming up over the next few years.
It's like one of those things, like for all three of us, when you get out of high school, you're like, oh man, I wish they taught us those. And it's like the essentials of life, right? Where it's kind of that same perspective where it's like, man, I wish we knew something like that. And you could say this for all sports, honestly, not even just fishing, even for athletes that go into college, especially with the NIL deals now, where it's like, now you can make money. How should you operate? How should you behave yourself? How should you manage all this money? Where there's probably some kids that come out of these low income neighborhoods that haven't seen money thrown at them that like they're being thrown at now.
Absolutely no clue.
Yeah, have no idea how to manage it, no idea how to use it for a long term, protect themselves, things like that. Where I think this is great because one, it helps from that standpoint, but also to your extent, I think from a brand angler relation standpoint, this might help from a longevity of understanding how to actually operate, pursue, and position yourself from a business standpoint. Where when we're looking at the Opens next year, it's hefty. Like it's not going to be, I mean, obviously it wasn't cheap for you this year by any means with the nine, but the nine next year, depending on where you're living, like it's going to, you know, especially travel wise, like it's a big cost. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like the more you're able to help educate people, like I think you, there's Milliken. I think Kyle's done great, like in regards to getting the brands needed for like building obviously what your brand is, but to be able to attract other brands to support you. It's a hard thing to do. It takes time. It's not an overnight thing. And I think some people think that if they make a win, that's overnight, you know, you're going to have a bunch of sponsors with big money thrown at you, which is not the case. We're starting this at the ground level, college, high school kids, they can get that ball rolling, which I think is exactly what you're trying to get at there.
Yeah, I think that's a huge a misconception out there is that, like, you know, you get a win or you do something significant and, like, people line up out the door to, you know, write checks. That's just not the case. And try to just educate these young guys on stuff like that, like insider stuff that, you know, people aren't necessarily talking about. Because I know when I, you know, graduated high school and started Auburn, like, luckily, I felt like Auburn was a good fit for me because it was student run and there was no coach. So I was actually able to work my way up through leadership. I started out as the social media manager of the team and then worked my way up into some executive positions like secretary, treasurer, vice president, and then president. And I got to the point where I was running the Auburn bass fishing team just like I'm running Logan Park's fishing now. I mean, it's its own business. And we were selling sponsorships to afford for all of our college guys to go and compete and pay for our own fuel and, you know, pay for our hotels. And so that was a great opportunity for me to learn, but it's not something that even a lot of college guys have the opportunity to learn. You know, like there's a lot of guys on the team that weren't in exec positions and, you know, graduated, may have wanted to fish, but they had no experience and had no idea of like how to even start talking to sponsors or where to even start, you know, preparing to fish the Opens or something like that. And like you said, it's expensive, especially next year. There's a lot of travel and there's a lot of planning and preparation and stuff that goes into all of that. And so hopefully we can help, you know, educate the younger anglers and create better, more prepared guys and prevent people from going in, you know, big financial holes or doing something foolish and just giving up on their dreams. You know, I hope we can make more guys succeed.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a great premise of this event.
It's a great mission, at least.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to for it to be been put on, seeing the results from it, seeing some of the good that's going to be done from that. And with that, I'm actually curious, just from your POV, and obviously winning a $1 million tournament, of course, helps a little bit in this, but that doesn't take away from the hard work you put into building up your brand, how you represent yourself, that sort of thing. And with that, like from kids in college now or in high school now that say they're working summer jobs where they get a lot of their fishing time in, or they're in college and it's, you know, you're grinding from, you know, tournaments, practice, classes, that sort of thing, or you're working a side job as well. Even kids say they're not in college, say they didn't just, they chose out of high school to go into a work, you know, into a trade or whatever, but they're fishing on the side. And it kind of can seem overwhelming to try to build up the business side of things. And what I really lean towards is like social media and your brand, because you can't make a living as a full-time professional angler anymore by just catching a bass. It's very hard to do that unless you're a full-time guide. You need to have the social media aspect, the content, that sort of thing. You need to have some different angles to be able to lean on. What would your advice be for somebody like that? That's, you know, early on, that just kind of is like, I have so much going on, but I know this needs to be done. I don't know how to make some sort of effort towards building up my brand to try to make it to that stage someday, like you did, like you've just done. If that makes sense.
Yeah, man. I think it starts with I got a piece of advice from somebody when I was starting out freshman year of college. His name is Todd Hollowell. He actually fished FLW Tour for a while. Shout out Todd. He told me that I need to get a whiteboard calendar and write down, you know, that month's worth of what I've got going on, and then have like a separate whiteboard beside it and just write, like, you know, maybe daily to do's on it or like a goals on it, and have both of those. And so, like, it seems super overwhelming when you talk about it like that. It's like, oh my God, I got to do social media and I got to do this and I got to do that. And it's easy to like, just be like pulling your hair out. Like, I don't even know where to start. But if you can put down something on paper, at least for me, like, I'm a visual type person. If I can write out my goals and think about them, and then I'm like, all right, you know, I want to go to college. So that's my number one goal. And then it's like, now I start writing out what I need to do to get to that point and focus on, you know, kind of pick the ones that are absolutely necessary and then rank them in order of how, you know, how important they are, and start focusing on those until those tasks are done. And you can break it down to enough individual tasks, it's a lot easier to start focusing on what you need to do to get those tasks done by the next time, you know, you're checking off the whole goal. I mean, I wrote down at the beginning of the year, I wanted to average like 12 and a half pounds a day in the opens. I wanted to qualify for the Elite Series, and I wanted to make an X amount of money fishing this year to cover my expenses. And I was able to, you know, check all those off a few weeks ago. So that felt really, really good. But you got to have those goals laid out for you, you know, otherwise you don't know what you're even working towards.
Yeah. Making a goals list and putting a deadline on each of them. And I think one thing to add on top of that, it's very cliche, but if you're the kind of person that's going to make it in general to that level, to the Elite Series level, which I know you have a brain that operates like this, Andy's got a brain that operates like this. I strive to operate like this. It's making goals that are so hard that it almost is like you wake up, you look at them, and it's like, you won't. Like, you know that buddy that always challenged you? Like, I was joking with Andy the other day at our wedding. I'm introducing my college roommate. And I was like, yeah, he could get me to do anything ever if he's like, hey, Bailey, you won't do that. Like, just out of like, if you have that mindset of like, it's so challenging to reach it, that makes you work a little bit harder. Like, you know, you're not going to reach that goal, but your mind's just like, all right, watch me. And if you can make the goals like that kind of caliber, I think one, that is awesome. One thing I'll add in there too, because I feel like nowadays content is everything when it comes to brand deals, partnerships, like more and more, I know Logan, you're seeing it. It's like, hey, well, we want help with social media. We want this kind of content to be posted. Well, nowadays, social media is becoming ever more challenging in regards to, okay, you post content, cool. The world doesn't care. You got to have content that's actually engaging and meaningful now. One thing I will say, if you can afford it, get a GoPro, get yourself a hefty SD card and a portable battery and run that sucker every time you're fishing. Because one, you'll get great content out of it.
And an external hard drive.
That too. I mean, you can be diligent with it too. Cause like this isn't saying you have to go and make YouTube videos. This is like, if you have social media, you can clip this stuff. Like it's the stuff Andy and I do all the time for, you know, for social media, things that can catch certain moments that are like easily pluggable towards brands you're working with, that it's like it's seamless integrations. And what it does too, is like, if you have something cool happen, you know, you crack one through a mat on an Abu Garcia rod and it's something you can easily turn around and show. You don't have to set up anything. It's something you can easily do and allows you to incorporate the cool moments, the badass stuff, the, oh crap, I just dumped a giant. That sucks. Like you can show that emotion and the funny stuff. Like Kyle Patrick's been in the comments. Kyle does a great job of plugging his sponsors in a meaningful way, showing the cool stuff, but also, dude, he posts really funny content. And that's everything nowadays too, is being able to show all sides of that. So I think if you're able to, and nowadays you can just run your iPhone too as well. But I think I just want to add that in there too, is content. It's, I think that people look at it as an intimidating thing, which it can be. Some people it's just seamless, but that might be an easy thing to just get a GoPro, strap around there. And also it could be a studying tool as well, kind of look back on things. But I don't know, any am I astray there, Logan, or anything
that I agree with you 100%. I definitely need to be way better about it too. You know, it's like I get just in the tournament zone and I've always been one of those guys that's like focused on doing and like not so worried about like the other stuff. It's like I just want to fish and catch fish, and I don't even want to have to deal with plugging the SD card in and setting the camera up. And that's something that I'm trying to be better about, especially next year, because had some epic stuff happen this year and, you know, I didn't get it all captured, unfortunately. But I 100% agree with you. It's something that takes a few seconds of extra time that you can create endless amounts of content just out of one day of fishing. Even if you were to just say, you know, I'm going to go fishing today, but I'm not going to fish. I'm going to make, you know, whatever I need to make all day long. You can go out there on the water and knock that out in a day. And then, I mean, it's, you got all your deliverables done. You know, you could take 10 t-shirts and 10 hats out there. And no one will know that you're, you know, on the same body of water. You know, you can go and get everything done. And so stuff like that is, it's, you can kind of like break it out and do it all at once even sometimes.
Totally agree. I mean, from that side of it, like Andy and myself, we've taken days where like, hey, for next Saturday, if we're free, it's content day. We're going to go out. Yeah. Like it doesn't have to be the full day. Like you can get used. It's surprising how much you can get done fairly quick when it comes. It doesn't, like, especially if you're not doing like a high production stuff where it's like, you're going to go out fishing until dinner, you know, daylight to dark anyways, take 2 hours of that and just dedicate it towards getting content done, whether it's taking certain photos of stuff or videos. Like obviously this is long winded, but that stuff can go a long way and it's pretty easy to incorporate. And I know some people are like, I don't have time to post it all or operate social media, things of that nature, where it's like, when you look at anglers, think about how much time, this is going to be awkward, but think about how much time you're on the crapper and how much time you're looking at your phone or you're sitting in bed at night scrolling through TikTok or whatever.
The crapper is like one of the most advantaged times that we have as humans, especially with like cellular technology. You get so much accomplished in 5 minutes on the crapper.
I'll put myself on the spot. If you follow my personal Instagram, see all the reels I post, 100% all of those are made while I'm dropping a deuce. I'm just going to put it out there.
I would say just about all of my posts that I make, my personal and Lure Lab, usually come from the bathroom. So, yeah.
What a conversation. Fine. Thanks for joining us, Logan.
But, I mean,
learn how to multitask. You'll be fine.
That's right. I mean, just think about it, too. Like, how many times are you laying there in bed and it's like you're scrolling through Instagram or TikTok or whatever for 30 minutes. You could take 15, and it's like, go make certain reels where it's like you download a 40-second clip from your GoPro and just chop it up into vertical. Like, it's stuff like this where you can – it's obviously you need to have the dedication for it, where it's it comes down to the preparation that Logan hit on, but also time management, where it's setting, you know, like Logan mentioned, putting on the calendar, setting across your days, but also look at each individual day where it's like, yeah, I could sleep in an hour, but that's an hour that you could go and dedicate to something. And then it's like, oh, I can go take a 2-hour nap, or it's 2 hours that you can dedicate to something else. Or maybe it's a 30-minute nap.
Don't hate on my 2-hour nap.
I'm hating on your 2-hour nap.
Dude, I need a 2-hour nap just about like 3 to 4 times a week now with how much I fish. It's kind of getting ridiculous.
I've learned I can never knock a man's nap if he has kids and I don't have kids. If he's got kids, I can't never knock a man for his napping.
especially like a 5-6-month-old still waking up in the middle of the night. Like, you can see it here. Like, since Bailey's wedding, I got some big old bags underneath these eyes. We're living life right.
Old man with kids puts his hair down once, Logan, and he's done. He's tapped out for a whole week.
It's a crazy side of life. Oh, yeah. Kids are awesome, but don't have them if you don't want them or if you're not ready. It's because they are work. But
well, yeah. Speaking of that, Logan, you're getting married soon, aren't you?
Next December. So
congrats.
You got a while then.
We're planning it all out kind of right now and getting everything all dialed in for next year, but we're very excited.
Yeah. So here's one thing I'll tell you. Once December comes, it'll be next December in a blink of an eye, and you're going to be like, crap, I know we forgot to do something. So just be ready for that, because I'm sure, Bailey, you just went through that too.
I just learned how to swipe the credit card and say yes.
Yeah, yes. You're a yes man. Yes man.
I learned quick what the happy wife, happy life meant. So
yeah. Oh yeah. It's much easier. Just, but you also have to be objective and not criticize, but also voice your opinion, because if you don't, they'll be like, what are we even doing this for? So like,
oh, I did. And I got what I wanted. It was mashed potatoes and mac and cheese for the food.
By the way, real quick on that, I know we're back to your wedding. Amanda said those were the two best parts of the wedding food, was the mac and cheese and the mashed potatoes.
Oh, right, because so, I picked them.
Bravo.
Well, wedding tangent aside, congrats again, Logan. That's gonna be fun, man. Enjoy the process. But dude, you get your whole Elite Series season ahead of you, and hopefully you'll have a nice blue trophy sitting with you at your wedding next year.
Yeah, I hope so, man. Hopefully we have a couple on the altar. Maybe even a Rookie of the Year trophy. But that would be really awesome, man. I've kind of set my goals for next year already. And obviously Rookie of the Year is like one of those goals you're talking about. Like, I don't even know if that's even possible, but that's, you know, the number one goal. But obviously just making the Classic, really, it would be a huge accomplishment. Rookie Year, I'd love to. I mean, it's always been a dream of mine. Like, you know, as far as setting goals, like, my wallpaper on my phone has been the Bassmaster Elite Series logo since I was like probably like 20, 19. Like, when I really started considering, you know, trying to do it. And now I've got to swap it to the Classic trophy, because I just want to like think about that all the time. And every time, you know, just have a constant reminder of like, dang, like, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to get. Because that would be a dream come true, man. Just to walk across the Classic stage, really. And that's something that I really would like to experience.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, who on the rookie class scares you the most when it comes
all to of them, man?
Well, I mean, besides Kyle Piatrick, obviously, right? Like,
I mean, you know, probably rank them in the same order of, you know, how we, you know, finished in this year. It's like, I mean, those guys like JT, my roommate John, I mean, they had, and even Trey, like, and Rob G. I mean, they're like, there was like 5 or 6 of them that probably didn't really need to catch that much at all at the Harris Chain to make it. And, you know, that's just because of how incredible of a season they had. I mean, we broke all the records there ever has been. I think I averaged 13.6 pounds a day, and that was higher than the previous two AOY winners in 22 and 21, which is like absurd because obviously the weights and that kind of depends on where they fish. But like points wise, I mean, the points that the records that they set this year were unreal. And I think that it's going to be a really unbelievable rookie class. I think that the all nine really got some of the most diversified, best, you know, guys out of the whole group. I'm honestly just so honored to be even a part of that. It's going to be a freaking battle for rookie of the year, no doubt.
All right. Here, I'll make it a little bit more. It's basically the same question, just rephrased. If it was down to the last event, and it was between you and one other guy, last day of the last event of Elite Series for Rookie of the Year, who would scare you the most? Who would you least want that neck and neck to be with?
I'm gonna give you the politician answer and say, competing against the fish. I'm competing against the fish. I'm not competing against these dudes.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But I would probably least want to fish against John.
I thought that was gonna be the answer. Yeah. I feel like we talked about this a little bit the other night or last week actually, and we felt like it was a toss up between yourself and John, for who has seen the most bodies of water. Around the country, especially through college fishing, from that whole class, like who's seen the most bodies of water, and John having missed the elites like by a couple points, what, 3 or 4 times now?
Yeah,
like, he seems very veteranized from the opens at this point.
Yeah. Man, I think that John is like one of those dudes that's just like he's got so much experience and he's got that fire, man. Like, I mean, he's just. Like his decision making on the water is pretty flawless, and he's got, you know, more years of it than I do, and that, you know, that shows a lot and how he competed this season. I think he's going to be one of those guys that it doesn't take long at all to have a blue trophy or you know, a couple of them. I'm looking forward to seeing what we can all do next year for sure. It'll be cool. I don't know if we can catch them as good as the rookies did last year. I mean, they win like 5 of the 9 or something like that.
Yeah, 5 of 9.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Joey, yeah.
But wow. I think we'll do good. I hope I do good too. I think the other guys will do really well.
It's going to be a fun one to watch, regardless of who it is, because it's going to be pretty stiff competition.
I'm really curious to see the difference, like, to be honest. Like, I've talked to, you know, I've got friends that – just the elites and talk to them about it at length. And it's just like a kind of like an unknown beast for me right now. But like, I do know that we don't have to compete against 225 other anglers, which is going to be really nice. Having less pressure on the water for less practice days, 3 days versus 5 days, and significantly less boats makes probably a pretty big difference on how well they bite for you. But those guys are like the, you know, the number one guys in the world. So it's like they're still going to find everything and stuff that you have an idea was there or existed. So I'm curious to see like the difference. But it is like the only trail in the world where on day two the weights go up. The cut line goes up like by a pound or two, which is pretty crazy. Like that's nuts. So that just shows you how good they are.
Got to catch right day one. And you got to catch them even better day two. And then it's like, but how do I catch them better on day two without burning my primary area to the ground too? Or
yeah.
I might have to burn it knowing I have nothing else and pray.
Yeah, for real. So I haven't been big on that whole like managing the stuff. You know, it's just kind of like, seems like almost you just got to catch everything you can and then just hope you make it to the next day. The one tournament I did that this year, I got pretty burned. So
yeah, like, I feel like unless you're at like Fork or something like that, where you can actually let off the gas at a certain point.
Yeah.
Like a place that has the caliber of fish where you can let off. I feel like now, especially opens wise this year, it's like a catch everything you can each day and make adjustments on the fly where you feel like at least you gotta do that now, day one and two. Yeah. But you guys still got me, or did it?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah,
thought my dang Wi-Fi was acting up here. Now that I say it, now my Wi-Fi is getting active. We got a comment here from Scott, and I'll pose this question to you, Logan. He likes when we talk about our setups, rods, line, all that jazz. If you had one rod setup this year that was your MVP of your open season, what would you say that is from rod, reel, line, bait, all of it?
MVP.
Probably tough. Because I feel like it's.
Yeah, it's just like we went to so many places, and it's like we were doing so much different stuff. I caught a lot of fish on my it was a combo. It was the Xenon X. It was like the 8-3-1 reel with the 7'3" heavy Fantasies to X casting rod, and like anywhere between 15 to 20 pound 100% fluorocarbon, Berkeley fluorocarbon. But that's like was my go-to setup for a lot of stuff, like, you know, throwing a worm in brush piles, like skipping a jig on docks at Lake of the Ozarks. I put braided line on there, threw a frog with it. I really like that combo. It's a really good combo for a lot of different stuff. But threw a lot of spinning rods this year too. I mean, just a lot of spinning rods, drop shot a lot. 7 foot medium Fantasies to X spinning rod with the Xenon spinning reel, 10 pound Berkeley X9 braid, and an 8, 10, or 12 pound leader. That was like probably what I caught a lot, most of my fish on this year.
I dig it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm very, it's got to sound similar, Andy, where I love that 7.3 medium heavy casting.
Like, yeah, like Logan said, you can spot for like 90% of casting rod techniques.
Everything.
Yeah, it's a very versatile rod. Like if you only could buy one rod, it needs to be a 7'3" medium heavy.
Yeah, which I think it's funny because people you would say 5-6 years ago would say that's a 7 foot medium heavy. Where now it's like right. It seems like we're going the longer route of things.
I was just thinking about. I think I have either 4 or 5 7'3" medium heavies in my boat, like all the time, casting rods.
Someone is evaluating your pictures on the wall to see if they're crooked or not.
Don't tell Caitlin. I hung all those by hand.
Oh boy! Good luck, buddy.
OCD. And I'm supposed to be the angle of the computer. They're not crooked, I promise.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I leveled them all.
Yeah, wink, wink. Well, dude, so obviously big year coming up with the Elite Series. I'm sure none of your media platforms are going to take any sort of halt. If anything, they'll probably ramp up, being that you're going to be at the top level. But anything next year that people should look out for, things that are coming up? Obviously, we have your new event coming up, which we'll actually incorporate into our newsletter coming in here. We've kicked back up, and thank you to people that have been subscribing to that newsletter. It's late this week. I was lazy coming back, obviously, from the whole wedding thing this weekend. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, excuses, right? But I'll get that out this week, I promise. But looking forward to that. But what else, if anything, is coming up next year that people can look forward to?
I'm really hoping that I can get a more consistent YouTube thing going for next season, because I started this series at the beginning of this year called the First Man Out series on YouTube. And it was because I finished First Man Out of qualifying last year, and I had, you know, a guy that was going to follow me all season and, you know, kind of capture the not hopefully being the first man out again. And we actually did, you know, we weren't the first man out. We were like the third man in, which was pretty cool, but it just didn't really pan out. He had a side business that took off, and he kind of had to, you know, dip out on the camera, like they're doing the camera thing all season. So we got like 3 or 4 pretty cool episodes. And then I had a buddy of mine that's on the Auburn team that filmed an episode for me, and he actually dropped his camera in the water. Oh, so no. It's like just trying to get the whole YouTube thing going this year. It seemed like it was just, I was shooting myself in the foot. But next year, I think we're going to have something cool going. I'm really hoping. I've got a buddy of mine that films for Bassmaster Live, so I'm trying to convince him to just get there a few days early and put together kind of like a behind the scenes thing. I'm really looking for more of something like that to show people like what it's really like on the road. I know it's like it's kind of getting overpopulated with YouTube videos, but I would like to be able to show people my journey. And I'm hoping to have a pretty cool YouTube thing going next year. That's really what I'm looking forward to the most. And then, you know, just hopefully doing well, man. I hope we can catch them.
Heck yeah. We'll be looking forward to the YouTube. I know some people are like, oh man, everyone's popping up with them. And I say more the merrier, because one, it just allows you guys to have somebody, you know, creates a community to latch onto. And like tournament fishing, the better you do with the production, the more thought you put into it. Not saying the production value has got to be higher, but the more you put yourself and who you are into that content, even if it's not even just YouTube, like Instagram, everything, but YouTube specifically, the more you see that, people will latch on and it'll help you create a community. And I'd say more the merrier, man, because the sport of bass fishing needs it. You know, yeah. I think it was Dave Mercer that said he was worried about the personalities of fishing, you know, moving forward. Or I think, you know, YouTube's a big help in that and bringing out who some people are. He's a great example, a good buddy of ours, Mr. Luke Palmer, who started YouTube, man. And I feel like more of his personality has helped come out now that you couldn't get from an Instagram, because he's had YouTube, where it's like him on stage, he's just some stale, you know, country boy from Oklahoma working on a farm, where it's like you can only get so much out of him. Where it's like when you know him and you've met him and you hung out with him, it's like this dude's funny as hell. Like he's sarcastic. He's a good dude to be around. Very genuine, hard to give you the shirt off his back. Where now the YouTube brings that out. Where it's I like that more guys are doing this because you get to see more personality, and that opens up to more eyes for people to latch onto. So I'm looking forward to that, man. I hope you can figure out a solution for it.
Yeah,
because we'll definitely be watching.
Probably have some more stuff coming out too with the foundation, like I was talking about earlier. I've really been toying around with, like, you know, actually doing a mentorship program. I think we're gonna probably, you know, announce that in the near future and kind of set up like, not like necessarily like classes, but maybe have, you know, 10 or 15 guys enroll in it and, you know, just mentor them all year and work one-on-one with them. That's something that I'd really like to do. So probably keep an eye out for that too. If you're a high school or college guy, that's something that I'm excited about, that I'm passionate about, and I'm looking forward to bringing out.
Heck yeah. Well, let us know when things like that roll out, and we'd love to share it with everybody that listens to our shows. But Andy, you got anything left for Logan here before we hit him with the last question?
Oh, I was going to say, don't forget about our last question.
But I think I'm going to change it up, though.
Oh, I like it. Let's do it.
So usually, Logan, with the show, we like to ask the last question of, if you could choose three people, anybody, you know, sort of thing, would you who you'd invite to have, you know, a steak and a beer and pick their brain type of deal. But I'm going to change it up. For next year, you know, first year on the Elites, and I know you've got the chance to meet some of the guys that are already on the Elites, of course, but three guys, who are the first three guys that you would want to shake their hand that are currently on the Elite Series?
The first three guys I want to shake their hands. Jeez, dude. Putting that's a hard one.
Loaded.
Probably definitely Larry Nixon. That's got to be one of them.
Heck yeah.
I've actually never met him, and he's like the GOAT, you know. Yeah. Larry Nixon's just mainly too because I've never met him. Let's see. Who else?
While you think of that, I did say the post you made of Ike's Hall of Fame deal, that was pretty freaking cool, man.
Dude, I know, man. That was crazy. Like, it's so crazy to think about, because I signed up for my first Bassmaster Elite Series marshalling. I've only ever done two, but I got an email about it when I was in, like, maybe ninth grade. It was right after we started the fishing team. And I was like, oh, they're coming to Guntersville in April. Like, Dad, can I please sign this up? And it was, like, $100. And I think he let me sign up for my birthday. And it was like a birthday present to go. Then, like, we went to the meeting and they like actually had the marshals come to the they had a pre-tournament meeting that all the Elite Series guys had to be at, and they had the marshals there. This is like before Zoom, I guess. And like looking around the meeting, I'm like, holy crap, dude, like KV's right there, like, you know, all these guys are here. And then they send a text out, and I'm like, my God, Canale, oh my gosh, like this is gonna be so sick. Like,
how was that boat ride?
My buddy's like, guess who I'm riding around with tomorrow? Yeah. And he was like the coolest guy ever, man. Like, he's been a guy that I've always looked up to. And I would say him, you know, but I've actually, you know, talked to him at the Toyota owners event like this weekend, and like, you know, was like, hey, you remember me? Like, you know, and so I got to shake his hand there, which was pretty cool. But he actually busted a fat bag, had like 28.2 that day that I rode with him, and he was leading the tournament. And it was like the sickest.
Oh, I feel like I remember this tournament at Gunnersville, and then like the second day, he really struggled to catch him.
Yeah, I think he led like all three of the 4 days, and then Skeet Reese ended up coming from behind and winning the final day. And I think he had a really, really tough final day, but that first day was unreal, man. I've one of the most epic days of bass fishing I've ever seen.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was super cool.
It's great.
All right, well, you're stuck on Larry Nixon.
You got two more to go, buddy.
Larry Nixon. I'll say Larry Nixon, Brandon Polinick.
Okay.
Because I just have always looked up to Polinick and think he's a really cool dude. And, you know, just to, you know, shake his hand, get that recognition, I think would be really cool. And then I'll have to say Gerald Swindle for number three.
I like it.
Yeah. I feel like me and G-Man have had a few differences, and I would just like to shake his hand and just, like, you know, earn his respect for making it. I think he's, like, you know, one of the most iconic guys out there. You know, he's one of the best at marketing himself, and, I would really like to start off a friendship as I start off the Elite Series. You know, he's not a guy that you want to not get along with, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you there. I think there's a few of those on the Elites where it's like, I want to be on their good side.
Yeah. I'll have to say those three, though. Those are probably one the three of the guys that I definitely have always, you know, grown up looking up towards the most is those three guys. But yeah, all of them, man. I mean, it's crazy. You get to fish against a kid. Like, I literally rode in Ike's boat 8 years ago. You know, like, and now I'm like actually competing in a tournament against them. It's so crazy, so unbelievable.
It's awesome.
Pretty awesome, man. Heck yeah. We're looking forward to watching you and watching you compete. And I'm sure we'll get you back here on the show before the season kicks off next year. But obviously, one, thank you for joining us, dropping some knowledge on us, and looking forward to seeing how your event goes hip here on November 12th.
Yeah, thanks, man. Real quick, I mean, if there are any college or high school guys watching, it's November 12th. It's on Lake Martin in Auburn, Alabama. Sign up. We're giving away $15,000 for first place guaranteed, so you're not going to want to miss out. And you sign up all the way until Sunday, November 5th. So get signed up before it's too late, guys. And I'm looking forward to seeing y'all in Auburn November 12th. Sweet.
I think I still have some NCAA eligibility.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Heck yeah, dude. We'll be talking to you soon. We'll get you back on here before the 2024 season.
Sounds good.
Have a good day.
All right, Logan. Take care, man. Well, Andy, I think we might have to identify as high schoolers. Just shave our beards and we'll try to hop in that event.
Listen, I shaved this beard. I'm going to throw some Rogaine in my hair to get the gray away, and we'll be good to go. Because as soon as I shave my beard, like if I go like razor on this face, I'm going to look like I'm about 10. So, yeah, big old baby face underneath that thing.
Big old baby face. That's awesome. Yeah. But thank you again to Logan for joining us. Looking forward to see how his event caps off and the reception of that from the college and high school folks. But in other words, I mean, Andy, we talked about it a little bit last week. Stacked rookie lineup
for 2024. Oh, yeah, it's going to be so exciting to watch. It's going to be like a bloodbath. I feel like there might be a lot of like shifting in standings, and I think it's going to be actually a relatively close race because just about all of them, if not all of them, will be in contention to be in the Classic the following year. So it's going to be cool to watch. But it's one thing I think we say every year. It's like every year, each rookie class seems to get stronger and stronger when they enter into the elites.
Yeah, I think that's 100% just time. You know, that's
and college fishing is helping tremendously in the growth of a lot of these anglers.
Yeah, well, and we're seeing a lot of comments too. People that want us to talk about the old BPT Major League Fishing right now, which we're not going to talk about tonight. We'll talk about it coming up. But the one comment I will make is it's probably going to make the Opens a whole lot harder here next year.
Yeah, it's
going to be. Imagine there's going to be some guys that are going to join that.
It's going to be interesting. I wonder who's going to use legend exemptions too, if they're even available. Yeah.
A big if. But yeah, I think big things for folks. If you guys want to get involved in our weekly newsletter, you guys can do so down below or head over to SeriousAnglerNetwork.com and get yourself signed up or slide us a DM, shoot us an email, however your means of wanting to get involved. Just let us know and we'll either sign up yourself or we'll sign you up for you. Got some sneak peeks of that. The advantage of that is you can obviously get the – we usually send those out anywhere from Sunday to Tuesday mornings. That will showcase the upcoming episodes for the week before anybody else sees it. So newsletter sees it first. See the upcoming newsletter, the upcoming episodes, as well as some additional discount codes, things like that, some industry news to keep you guys updated. That way you can stay on top of the most important thing going on. So again, just let us know if you want to get involved. And then, of course, like we mentioned in the introduction, Kayak Fishing Weekly, brand new kayak fishing show coming to you, the Serious Angler Network. That is going to launch on November 2nd. As we mentioned earlier, I slipped it into the audio version earlier. Transition probably wasn't as flawless as I would have anticipated it to be, but there's a nice clip there of Justin Largent and I talking about exactly that. We're looking forward to having that show. It'll be here on the Serious Angler YouTube channel. The episodes we posted right here. So if you're already subscribed, it'll be right here for you guys, especially you kayak folk. So we'll have all of that there for you, but it will have its own MP3, which we'll share with you guys too. It'll be on the same website, that sort of thing, as all of our other shows in regards to, you'll be able to click on it and see all the different network shows we have from an MP3 standpoint. That way you can go and listen if MP3 is your style of podcasting. So without further ado, Andy, I think that's going to wrap it up here for tonight. Let me quickly look and see. Coming up for Friday's episode, we got Mr. Caleb Kufall of the Bassmaster Elite Series joining us.
Another new one to the Serious Angler podcast.
That's right. We're going to be talking some jig fishing.
Well, that's a great note then, because on Saturday on the Lure Lab, Brennan from Do It Molds is joining us, and we are going to talk about building your own flipping jig from scratch. So,
well, we might have to incorporate that into Caleb Kufall's episode, because Caleb builds all of his flipping jigs, which he won on, he almost won on Santee Cooper, as well as various locations. He won punching grass, not with a jig. But regardless, that's going to be a lot of fun. So Caleb Kufall coming up for this Friday. Got some cool shows coming up. Let's premise that next week, obviously Tuesday Night Live would fall on Halloween. And we're not going to do that to you guys. So we're going to do next Monday Night Live. We're going to do Monday Night Live, 8 p.m. with Matt Becker, Major League.
That'll be a good one.
AOI. And this is it, right? Angler of the Year. He won two events, right? Two events. Gunnersville and what was the last one? Saginaw?
Yep.
Saginaw. So two event winner and Angler of the Year. Going to get Mr. Matt Becker on, who's a good friend of the show. Talk about
he
that.
He hasn't been on since what, like episode like 70? It's been a while.
He was on probably 2 months ago. You were actually out. It was Steve Essence from Bass Fishing Electronics, who's running some sales, by the way. Head over there. Him and Matt Becker joined for some electronics talk. Matt Becker's going to join and talk about some changes to BPT and what that kind of means for him as AOI and how he looks at it. So without further ado, folks, appreciate y'all. Some great shows coming up. You guys are awesome. Oh, shoot. I almost forgot. I wanted to incorporate in this. So if you're still listening, I appreciate you. But big giveaway going coming soon. We are trying to do some good with the shows. We mentioned you guys in the past. Serious Angler podcast. We are going to be partnering with Project Purple, which is a foundation that is grouped together to try to help those with pancreatic cancer. We're going to be trying to raise some money, and we have some dang big prizes involved. So we'll announce that here on November 1st. We'll have a Wednesday night live show for that to get you guys on. And it's a pretty easy way to enter, and doing so, you'll help benefit a lot of people in need. So we're going to be working with Project Purple on that. Just a little heads up for you guys coming next week as well, just to get you guys on the know and up to speed. But folks, appreciate you guys, and we'll see you on the next one. Peace.
Well, that was an awesome show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you can and your app allows it, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us get seen more, which allows us to access more time and more variables to be able to bring to the show to make it better for you guys. So hope you enjoyed it. And if you did and you liked some of the things we talked about in this episode and want to check out our show partners, all of that is in every single show description. You can click down there. It's got all of our discount codes, all of our links to our show partners, where you guys can go and support the people that support this show and help us make this show happen. And of course, this show does not happen without you guys. You guys know we appreciate you. You're the Serious Angler fam. You're the reason we're here. Appreciate y'all, and we'll see y'all on the next one.